An investigation into possible security breaches at the military base at Guantanamo Bay is underway. There have been two arrests so far. An Air Force translator and a Muslim Army chaplain who worked at the U.S. prison camp for terrorism suspects are both in custody, though the chaplain has not been charged. The translator is facing 32 criminal charges, including espionage and aiding the enemy. He's accused of trying to pass information about the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay to Syria. Pentagon officials say that they have another suspect who has not yet been arrested. This story of Muslims in the U.S. Armed Forces reminds commentator Askia Mohammed of his own military past.
I once dreamed of being a Muslim lay chaplain in the United States Navy. I would lead the faithful in prayer on the fantail of ships at sea after I performed my regular duties, I fantasized. It was 1967. I was an officer candidate at the Naval Officer Candidate School in Newport, Rhode Island. I may have been the only Muslim enrolled in OCS that summer. I was certainly the only African-American Muslim there. Of the 2,500 of us, there were only 9 blacks, period. The other officer candidates questioned me as though they'd never before seen or spoken to a living, breathing Muslim believer. Back in those days, we were all pretty naive. I was a kid from Watts who'd never been anywhere but to Mississippi. I didn't know that there weren't enough Muslims in the entire fleet to fill one congregation then. I certainly didn't know that a generation later, Americans would grow up hating the towel heads of the Islamic world, or that Muslim children around the globe would be weaned on wanting to wage jihad against the American infidels. Muslim standing in American civil society is very complex now. With so many more Muslims now in the armed forces, it must be doubly complicated for them. The Navy commissioned its first Islamic chaplain in 1996. 5 years later, after 9/11, a group of Muslim scholars was asked by the senior-most Islamic chaplain in all the armed forces about the permissibility of Muslim military personnel participating in America's fight against Islamic countries. It's an issue still on the minds of many today. One of the U.S. military's chaplains and an Arabic language translator are now under arrest. Detained by authorities, they are suspected of espionage or, worse yet, treason. If true, theirs were incorrect answers to the 9/11 question. I think I can say that because 36 years after my schoolboy dreams at OCS, I'm still black and I'm still Muslim, but I never became a U.S. naval officer. I ended up becoming a conscientious objector instead. Now, all the Muslims in all the armed forces are under extra scrutiny. Are they a secret fifth column working to assist the enemy while wearing the uniform of an American combatant? Can the U.S. military trust Muslims in its ranks? These are not policy questions. This is the real nitty-gritty. The issue is not, can Muslims kill other Muslims after all? Muslims fought Muslims in the Bangladesh-Pakistan War for Independence in 1974. And of course, Iranian and Iraqi Muslims killed one another in that war in the 1980s. It's a simple truth, I believe. There just isn't any honor for traitors in any faith's army. The questions of patriotism and loyalty should be addressed by Muslim Americans in their quiet places of prayer and reflection, way away from the theaters of combat.
Askia Mohammed lives in Washington, D.C.